All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready. hang on. A bit salty. Okay, I'm ready. Go.
Hello. Welcome to The Good Robot Andy's Season 2, Episode 3. My name is Andy Balaam.
And I'm Andy Cockerill.
And the film that we're going to talk about tonight is called...
Grandma.
Now, this is a spoilerific podcast, we must warn you about that, so we will be completely spoiling Grandma. But the way we're going to start is I'm going to explain to you, Andy,
yep,
what the plot of this film is, having never seen it or even heard about it.
Okay.
But based on the title that you've told me, Grandma.
I'm really interested to see what you get here, because this is quite an ambiguous title.
So, Grandma was a classic Disney film from the 50s. One of the early colour films, about a grandma and some kids, and they sort of have rollicking adventures. but that's not what this is. This is the more recent remake that really didn't get much attention. It's shot in a sort of hyperreal way, the way those early colour films look over...
Yeah, things like The Wizard of Oz and A Matter of Life and Death, stuff like that.
So it's like that, but this is done with CGI. So it's kind of an innovative live-action but digitally enhanced rollicking children's adventure.
Okay. I'm talking to you like it's an actual real film, saying, oh yeah, is it like The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah,
when I know it's like nothing like The Wizard of Oz. Okay.
Right.
So Grandma is a 2015 American comedy drama film. It's not a remake of a Disney film. It was written...
Imagine my disappointment.
I know. Written and directed by a guy called Paul White, who is one half of a duo who I think mainly work apart, but they're brothers, Paul and Chris. And they were also responsible for, back in the day, the American Pie movies.
Okay.
Or at least the original one, anyway.
Which I think I've actually avoided watching.
Yes, I have as well. I haven't seen any of those films.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen About a Boy, which Paul White's also made.
Is that based on the book by Nick Hornby?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a very good film indeed.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
And Chris White's made... he made the first... No, hang on. Am I getting confused here? Yeah, the second Hunger Games film, which he did an extremely good job.
Okay.
And also one of the Twilight movies as well, which I also I enjoy all those Twilight films. So
I'm very slowly getting round to watching Hunger Games.
Okay.
On the basis that I think I'll probably think they're all right.
Yeah, they are.
I tried to watch the first Twilight film. I'm normally, once I've started watching it, even if I hate it, I have to watch through to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't.
And yet, you watch Total Recall.
Yeah, I would watch the remake of Total Recall 4 times rather than having to sit through the first 15 minutes of the first Twilight film again.
Okay, all right, I'm with you there.
Okay,
so Grandma stars an actress in the leading role, Lily Tomlin. It's her first leading role in 27 years.
Name rings a bell.
Yes, it's because she appeared in one of your favourite shows. She was in The West Wing, as the president's secretary, who always had a withering put down, Mrs. Liningham, I believe her name was.
Ah, yes, yeah. Okay.
So this stars Lily Tomlin, who hasn't been in a leading role for a long time. She was very, very big in the 70s and 80s. She was in a film called All of Me with Steve Martin and a couple of other big movies back then. It's an hour and 15 minutes long, is Grandma. It's short and very sweet.
Wow, that's shorter than almost everything.
And when you mentioned, sort of Grandma having fun with the kids and going on a rollicking adventure, you weren't actually far off the mark there. Only it's not really a rollicking adventure. It's essentially sort of a mini road movie.
Okay, so she, just to be clear, she is playing a relatively older lady.
Yes.
She's
playing to her
grandma.
Age. She's playing to her age. You know, she's not playing younger or, you know, that much older.
Mm-hmm. But she is the grandma.
Yes. She's the grandma. I'm the grandma.
I'm back.
I'm the grandma. So, And the rollicking adventure is that her granddaughter comes to her a bit agitated and says she needs $630 because she wants to have an abortion.
Okay.
And grandma says, well, I don't have that kind of money because I cut my credit cards up and made them into a wind chime. So I don't really know why you're coming to me.
She's a certain type of grandma.
During the film, the granddaughter says, Mum, you know, referring to grandma's daughter, Mum mm-hmm. says, you're a philanthropist. And grandma says, no, I'm a misanthrope, dear. That's what I am. So Lee Tomlin is, we learn near the beginning of the film that she's been in a very long-term relationship with another woman. Mm-hmm. That's and that other woman's recently died.
This is the grandma again.
Yes, that other woman's recently died, and it appears that, you know, she's been caring for her and spending a lot of money on medical bills,
right?
And is now feeling quite annoyed and angry at the world
mm-hmm.
for various mm-hmm. different reasons. And at the beginning of the film, you know, it's an hour and 15 minutes long. These are thumbnail sketches of characters at best,
mm-hmm.
but that's what makes it interesting, because it is like you've been dropped into this world and you're just observing it very, very quickly about what's going on.
Mm.
I
always feel about John le Carré's books that in about half a sentence, you know the character intimately because of just the way they moved their hand or something when they picked up their cigarette.
That's right. So at the beginning of the film, we are deposited in an argument between grandma and her new partner, who she's breaking up with. Okay. And we're dropped halfway through this argument that's going on. In fact, it's not really an argument. It's just grandma saying, I'm breaking up with you. You don't mean anything to me. I'm going to have a shower. Leave the keys on the table. and we're kind of just dropped into this from nowhere, mm-hmm. Which is quite disorienting. But
how do we feel about grandma? Do we warm to her gradually, or do we immediately like her?
Well, we immediately like her because she's a straight talker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in an age of... and I don't mean a straight talker in the way that Donald Trump is a straight talker. although she can be quite offensive in this film,
mm-hmm.
it's always righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never just scattershot of, you know, just being offensive for its own sake and trying to get column inches in paper and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Her anger is always laser focused.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we start. So the new girlfriend leaves pretty upset, about being given, you know, the hairdryer. You know,
mm-hmm.
Leaves, and then granddaughter arrives with demand for money.
Mm-hmm.
So they go on a little road trip to try and find some cash. But what they quickly discover is, or what the granddaughter quickly discovers, is that the granddaughter is called Sage, by the way.
Okay.
What they quickly discover is that...
Does that indicate some level of hippie parentage?
Yes,
as well,
possibly.
As hippie grandmothering?
Possibly, although when we get to meet Mum later, she's not particularly hippie-ish.
Okay.
So what we quickly discover is that Grandma has burnt pretty much all of her bridges, and that nobody is terribly interested in giving her money or lending her money.
They're going to visit people in order to borrow some money.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, in order to pay for this this abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's set out to be controversial.
Yeah, it's definitely something. it definitely pushes buttons. It doesn't pull any punches.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very funny
scene. It's hard to pull punches while you're pushing buttons.
Definitely. That is.
You could do one with each hand.
I think that should be a one of those motivational posters.
It's hard to pull punches when you're pushing buttons.
Copyright it.
So get on with pushing buttons.
I think you should copyright it now.
Sit back down and push the buttons without pulling any punches.
So there's a very funny scene in a coffee shop, which is run by John Cho, who plays. He plays Mr. Sulu in the new J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's two other customers in the coffee shop. And Elle, who is grandma, is talking to Sage about the abortion and about not having any money. And the proprietor of the coffee shop comes over to them and says, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave because you're offending the customers. Mm-hmm. And of course, Elle doesn't take very kindly to this.
She's not
she says, well, there's only two other people here and they're not offended. And looks at them, you're not offended, are you? And they don't say anything because they're terrified.
Yeah.
So she says, so the only person that's offended here is you. So you're not asking me to leave because the customer's offended. You're asking me to leave because you're offended. And we're not leaving. We're going to stay here and drink our coffee. We're not going. And then she just carry on talking about it. But they of course, they do eventually leave. So although she is a straight talker, she's a bit like Walter in The Big Lebowski in that.
Uh-huh.
She's angry.
Yeah, she doesn't... Yeah, not necessarily making things easy for herself.
No. No, definitely not, no. So she... they go to try and sell some of her books because... She is a feminist writer, and she's also got quite a collection of other feminist writers' books. And she goes to a bookshop come coffee shop type place, sort of hipstery type joint, to try and sell them. And the owner there offers her $60 for these books, for which, you know, she's unhappy about and ends up not getting the $60, just walking out in a huff. So they've basically got nothing at the moment. So she's getting desperate now. So she goes to visit her ex-husband, who's played by Sam Elliott, who was also in... I'm just checking that. He's at, yes, Sam Elliott, who was in another Big Lebowski alumnus. He was the cowboy who does the narration.
Okay.
He's been in many, many other things as well. He's very famous for having a fantastic moustache. of which he doesn't have in this film. I don't quite know how he removed it, though, because it's quite a moustache. You know, you probably need something like a lawnmower to take it off. It's that good. So she goes
probably
to...
probably regrow it in a week.
Yeah, probably, yeah. It's that powerful. So she goes to see him, and he is, you know, less than happy to see her, but says, okay, I do have the money.
Did he say he was an ex-boyfriend?
He's an ex-husband.
Ex-husband.
Okay. Ex-husband. I do have the money, but you can have it if you give me a kiss. to which she... Well, first of all, they have a beer. Then he says, do you want to get... You know, do you want to have something else? So they have some other type of stimulus. And... so she says she says okay, yeah, I'll kiss you. So she does, and then he says, and I want you to come and sleep with me. And she walks away, then comes back and says, all right, I'll do it. I just want the money. Just give me the money. She tells him that it's for rent money.
Mm-hmm.
When he meets Sage, you know, he says so. Who's this? Who's this young woman? And, you know, she says, that's my granddaughter. And the mood immediately changes because what we then discover is that she had a child. She had a baby, not a baby, but she got pregnant with Carl, but she had an abortion
right
before she divorced him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had a kid out of wedlock with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So Carl is really upset about the fact, and he says, okay, so what's the money for? And she tells him,
mm-hmm.
and then he refuses to give it to her.
Right.
Not doing it, and just slams the door on them. So they've got exactly nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally have to go and see Elle's daughter, Sage's mother, the person they've right. been avoiding for the entire film.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's played by Marcia Gay Harden, who's quite an iconic American actress. And she is obviously, as soon as they walk in, she says, right, you're pregnant, aren't you? That's the only reason that the two of you can be here right now.
Right. Because
she's very perceptive. And but she coughs up the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And although she said she didn't think she'd better make it to the clinic, she does make it to the clinic. And then there's this kind of, you know, sort of tentative family reunion that's mm-hmm. slightly tender and kind. And Elle meets up with the woman that she broke up with at the beginning of the film and apologizes to her for saying the horrible things that she had said to her.
Mm-hmm.
And the film kind of just ends there with Elle walking away laughing on her way home.
Okay.
And it's, so
they've met a chain of characters.
Yes.
Which, and it's kind of about how Elle's messed up her life.
Yeah.
And yet we like Elle.
We do like Elle, despite the fact that she's flawed.
We feel like she's actually righter than everyone else, even though all she's done is go around and ruin all her relationships.
She has ruined quite a lot of relationships, but in going off with Sage to try and sort Sage's problems out, she ends up, in a way, sorting a lot of her own problems out with communicating mm-hmm. with people from her past. I think probably with the exception of Carl, who is still an open wound in terms of their relationship.
Right.
And she doesn't improve that at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. But I think that this incident with Sage brings her closer to her own daughter.
Yeah.
Which is rather good.
Yeah.
But the reason why I wanted to talk about it today is it's because it's incredibly well made. It's, as mm-hmm. I said, it's very short. It's, an hour and 15 minutes. And it is just like being, let's say if one of us would fly out to Los Angeles, because it seems to be set in the Los Angeles area, and say, okay, get in this car and travel around with these people for the day. That's what it feels like.
Mm.
It's not a long road movie. This stuff takes place in a pretty short time period.
Mm. So is it a political statement? It has quite a lot of highly charged political issues happening in it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff about feminism. There's a lot of stuff about people making life choices, and Sage. I forgot. There's another scene where Elle meets the father of Sage's child, mm-hmm. who is, for want of a better word, a dirtbag.
Mm-hmm.
And he threatens to physically assault Elle. And nice. Elle grabs one of his hockey sticks and hits him in the nether regions with it,
mm-hmm.
which is a very funny scene. She also berates him for not being able to grow a proper beard as well, saying that what is on his face looks like armpit hair.
Uh-huh.
Which is very funny.
That sounds like what he deserves.
I think so. Yeah, he definitely deserves it. Definitely deserves it. But I think what is fantastic about this film is that the lead actress is a woman who hasn't had a leading role for 27 years, and she's absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
But she's so good, you can't really imagine anybody else doing it.
Right, and it sounds like she won you over in the first few seconds.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's purely, not because she's saying nice things, because she's not, but it's purely because she is, England nearly scored, then you can probably cut that out of the podcast. It's purely because her performance is so good that you are pulled along by it.
Yeah.
You're with it.
How exciting to be talking about a film that features all female characters with a couple of bit parts for men.
Yeah, definitely. The men have walk-on roles, definitely. Sam Elliott, who is, Sam Elliott is definitely a character supporting actor. He's not he's not a leading actor, but he is definitely a supporting role here. And it's very much about the women in this film. Very much so.
Yeah, and the person that we're sympathising with and following is Elle, and
yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, sounds all right. It's pretty short.
Yeah, it is short. I mean, you could watch this, and even if you were disappointed, you've only lost an hour and a quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you could, in the time it takes you to watch this, you've only got just past halfway through an episode of Valander.
Yeah, that's Valander's an hour and a half, isn't it?
Maybe. In which case, you've got most of the way through an episode of Valander. Yeah. But I think Swedish ones are 2 hours long. I don't know.
Yeah, not sure.
Anyway, excellent, well worth watching. I mean, Kenneth Branagh's fine, but watch the originals. What's his name? Henning. something.
I don't know.
He is great.
Is he?
Yeah. Definitely watch them.
Excellent.
I mean, that's a slight sidetrack.
We just got sidetracked, which we do a lot. Which we do a lot. Okay, so have I convinced you that Grandma is worth seeing?
So, it's quite recent.
Yes, it is.
I don't know, it makes me think about that. You know what's putting me off it, which mm-hmm. is totally unfair? It's making me think about that film about the girl who's pregnant.
Juno.
Which everyone thought was great,
mm-hmm.
and I thought was okay.
I really liked
at
Juno.
At best.
I enjoyed Juno. Okay, but it's nothing like Juno.
Yeah, it's probably nothing like Juno at all.
It's nothing like it. It's...
All right.
It's completely different. Yeah.
I mean, the main character sounds really fun to go through this whole experience with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you wanted someone by your side who's got your back, this is the woman to have, because mm-hmm. she's streetwise and she wants to help in her mm-hmm. own way. And, mm-hmm. you know, even though that way may not suit you, you don't really have a choice.
Cool. So the question then is,
mm-hmm.
what's the point of it?
Okay.
Is the point of it to be all the things it is? You know, to be a film which features female characters and talks about highly charged political issues, or is what's the point of it? Why does it exist?
Okay, so I think that you touched on it there, and the reason why it exists is because there's too many or so many films that have, you know, impressively large male casts and supporting roles for women, and frequently the women need to be rescued in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Grandma, it features three very strong female roles, and the men are very much relegated to the background. And in that respect, it tips the balance just a little bit the other way. Not enough, mm-hmm. you know, by mm-hmm. any means, but also, you know, it's extremely well written by Paul Weitz. You know, this man knows how to write good stuff for women, which is hard for lots of male writers to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well shot. It's got a good soundtrack. So, that's why.
So that's why it's good for the world. But presumably, that can't be all that's behind it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be any good, right? I mean, it can't be just the politics.
No. Okay, so it's not just the politics. The performance is great.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's well directed. It's well shot. It's got a great score. It's a good, solid film with a really mm-hmm. solid central performance.
Right.
And it's funny. Right. And the thing is that, you know, after reading Michael Moore's book Stupid White Men many years ago, mm-hmm. when he talks about how to engage with people who don't want to hear what you've got to say, the thing that he keeps coming back to is be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Be funny and people will start to listen, because when people are laughing and you're telling them something they don't want to hear, they start to open up mm. to new ideas. And, you know, this film talks about things like same-sex relationships, talks about abortion, it talks about the gender politics, and it does all of those things, but it does them all in a funny way. It's sometimes mm. very cynically funny, but it is funny. So it's never po-faced. It's never preachy.
Yeah, and you've got that central character who's obviously flawed, so it would be difficult for it to be preachy.
It would be hard if she was po-faced and preachy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just pretty much repeating what you said. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be hard if she was po-faced and preachy.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, just to just to reiterate.
Yes. Yes.
It does sound really good. I'm always interested in things which I feel are genuinely from a female point of view, because I find them very unsettling and interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously, then just because it's unusual, especially in the kind of media that I consume.
What do you mean by that, by the media you consume?
Well, I mean, I could read so-called women's fiction, you know, and then I would read stories that are at least purportedly from a female point of view.
Right.
But I have no interest in reading those books, and I don't consider them to be helpful in genuinely being from a woman's point of view.
Yes.
But when I've read, I'm trying to remember the name of a book that I did read that I really found unsettling because I felt like, almost like I wasn't allowed, I shouldn't have been allowed into the mind of this character.
Mm-hmm.
It's the many... I'm not going to get it. It's a sort of kind of a science fiction book about a woman who's been cloned.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Have you ever read any Margaret Atwood?
No.
Yeah, she's very good. So she writes really good sci-fi. Sometimes not hard sci-fi, sometimes it's... she wrote a book called The Handmaid's Tale, which is quite famous. She writes really good, strong female characters that are believable. But, you know, also... the adaptations are very watchable.
I think my first taste of this exciting insight was listening to the music of PJ Harvey.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
But now I sound like I think men and women are so utterly different that different species.
Maybe this is a chat for another day.
Yeah. Maybe it is.
Yeah. So is there another question? Was that the only question you ask of me?
That's the only question I ask you. I was going to start talking about the female eunuch, which I read most of.
Okay.
It started well. I really liked it.
And then you didn't.
And then I went off it quite a lot.
Mm.
But yeah, maybe we should have that conversation another time.
Yeah. Why not? Why not indeed?
Yeah.
So, Grandma. listener, Grandma, go and see it. Well, actually, it's on DVD and I can only find it on DVD. I couldn't find it on Blu-ray.
Okay.
But it's available now.
Yeah, and I definitely think when it comes on TV, I'll try and watch it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. I think you'll find it very funny and insightful.
Cool.
I'm just having a look to see whether it was nominated or won any awards. Okay, so Lily Tomlin was nominated for Best Actress at the Golden Globes, which don't really count. But it's got a 92% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's pretty good.
Which is pretty good. I generally look at Rotten Tomatoes and think that... I mean, sometimes I think they get things not wrong, but maybe that their ratings are not quite what I expect them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that 92% is a good rating for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just looking at other reviews. So David Rooney of The Hollywood Reporter said that it's small scale but consistently funny and poignant comedy drama. And said of Lily Tomlin that is a sublime match of performer and role. That's a very good point, actually, is that Lily Tomlin is perfect for this part. You know, she's a pretty irascible, outspoken, not outspoken, she speaks the truth in interviews. You know, she's a big campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
And she is perfect for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to check it out.
Cool. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Do some plugging.
Oh, plugging, yes. Okay, so I present a movie reviews and music show on Glastonbury FM 107.1 in the Glastonbury Street and Wells area of Somerset. It's supposed to be new.
That's just down Glastonbury Street, round the corner from Wells.
Yes. Yeah. They're supposed to be getting a new transmitter that still hasn't been installed. I don't really know what's going on there.
It'll reach all the way round the corner to the pond.
I think it'll probably reach the pond, maybe, where the fish can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's about it.
And up the hill. Not just, so you won't just be the one street and the well.
Exactly. Okay, you need to do some plugging now.
Oh, sorry. I make YouTube videos mostly about programming. On all kinds of different types of programming languages. To learn a new programming language, I write the game Snake.
Oh, yes.
And then tell you what I thought of that language or and that.
Where can people find these videos?
They can find them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
If they search for Andy Balaam or look on the about page of the Good Robot Andy's website.
What is the Good Robot Andy's website name?
If I were you, I'd just use your favourite search engine and type in Good Robot Andy.
Because there's nothing else called that.
There is, as far as we can tell, there's nothing else called that.
Excellent.
It is on artificialworlds.net/goodrobotandys. Excellent. Or is it the Good Robot Andy's?
I'm not really sure.
No, just Good Robot Andy's.
Okay.
And also, I made an Android game called Rabbit Escape, which is a bit like Lemmings. If you search for Rabbit Escape, you should find that.
Excellent.
There are links on the Good Robot Andy's about page to all of these things.
Yes, there are.
Where you can also sign up for this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn and something else.
Yes, you can. You can also use your podcasting app of choice.
Yeah, and yeah, you can subscribe straight on the blog. There's an RSS feed on the blog. You can just put that into your podcatcher.
Mm-hmm.
Please come to the blog. Leave a comment.
We love comments.
I noticed that we had over 1,000. No, what is it? Several hundred unique downloads of this podcast in the last month.
That's incredible.
So someone is listening. 300, I think it was. Over 300 every month. So there are some humans who are listening, presumably, unless people are just downloading it to their devices.
Maybe they're Terminators.
Throwing it away. Or some kind of sentient being is listening to the podcast. And so, well done, you.
Yes, but give us some comments, because we love them.
Leave a comment just saying, you know, how much you hated listening to us.
Dear the Good Robot Andy's, you don't know anything. Love, listener.
Long-time listener, first-time commenter.
Yeah. We would also like some suggestions of things for me to watch.
Mm.
Because although I watch a lot of films, I'm always interested in watching something new that maybe I haven't seen. So, there we go. Get involved and say, Andy, you need to watch this film and then talk about it. And then they can tell me that I'm wrong.
Excellent.
And then we can have a discussion. Because, of course,
I look forward to that.
It's all entirely subjective.
Yeah.
But other opinions are available, as Mark Kermode would say.
Yep.
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 Yep. Okay. I think, is that it?
I think we've just run down.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I think that's probably it.